Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP has been serving people all across the U.S. for more than 20 years, promising no less than their very best attention and commitment to making sure each of their clients has access to the answers they need, always being accessible. Their focus is on managing risk while always looking for opportunities. And since their own money is invested right along with their clients, their focus is on results. To see about their targeted investment programs, just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. End of commercial. And now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of InvestTalk, November 9th, 2016. Our goal is to help you in any way we can to become a better investor. Above average investor is our goal. And avoid the costly mistakes that the average investors make all the time. You want to hear one? How about panicking out, getting out everything. Never, ever, ever sell everything. If you're going to be an investor, you don't need to be out. That doesn't mean you don't take precautions. I'm just saying you never be out completely, because you can never know where the market's going to go. You can't guess. There's no guessing where it's going to go. It's best to stay in the market. Now, this hour, we have much to talk about. Of course, you set the agenda. One of our talking points is index funds. Index funds, lower-cost passive index funds, have been very popular since 2009 when the market crashed. Now, they haven't done you much good in the last year and a half, 2 years. But I still think they're going to continue to be very popular. And there's reasons for that, and we'll talk about that. It's going to be our main talking point. So how did the market react to the election for the new president, Trump? I don't know if you stayed up. I did, which was a mistake. I stayed up. And I was watching the futures market. And when the futures market started to tank, I said, uh-oh, he's going to win. Now, the futures market tanked 1,000 points on the Dow. So the futures market is saying the Dow is going to open up next morning 1,000 points down. By the time the morning came, about a half hour before the market opened, remember, I'm still awake, about a half hour before the market opened, the futures market said that the Dow is going to be down 300 points. Half hour before. When the market opened, the Dow went down a few points and then a few more points. And I think it got down to maybe 50, 60 points down and then turned right around and it ended up being a big up day. Now, you know I've been saying that the market is not going to like Donald Trump being, if he gets elected. The market would rather see Hillary Clinton because the market likes consistency. It doesn't like change. And of course, this proves a very, very good lesson to learn. And I have to relearn this myself all the time. You cannot predict the market. I can't predict it. No one can predict the market. This market's going to do what the market's going to do. On any short-term basis, you cannot predict it. Because I thought, you could say that, yeah, the market didn't like it. But for 5 minutes or an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, 7 hours, yeah, the market didn't like it. Those hours weren't even, the market wasn't even opened. Then when the market did open, the market didn't really care too much. And then decided it was a good thing. And the market rallied. So that you can't, the lesson to learn is, and again, I have to learn this lesson myself, you can't predict the market. You can't. So how much influence does a president actually have, a new president, on the stock market, on the economy? Well, we're going to talk about the internals of the market and what it actually traded today and why. The question is why, I think, is more important. Not what, but why. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. And how much does the president have influence on the market? And I'll tell you this, not a lot. Not a lot. It's the economy. It's the influence on the economy the president has, and is that going to benefit the market itself? Now, the president doesn't have a lot of say over the economy. He doesn't. He can only propose things. Now, of course, the Republicans retained the Senate and retained the House and now the presidency, so they're going to get done what they want to get done. But we'll see. Presidents get too much credit, whether the economy goes up or down, by the way. They get too much credit, and they also get too much blame. The boom and bust cycles of capitalism is inherent. You get recessions, you get expansions. You get recessions, you get expansion. It's because it's how people react inside the economy. When it's a free economy, everybody's free to react any way they want to. And so that is very common for it to be a boom and bust kind of situation. So the president shouldn't get the blame or the credit, but they do. Anyways, we are going to talk about a number of things today. What happened? Well, we know that Donald Trump won. Is it important to us as investors how he won or what actually happened? No, it's really not. What's important to us is now what kind of policies will he follow and what kind of effect they have on what sectors of the economy and what sectors of the stocks. What sectors are going to benefit, which ones are not. And it doesn't mean you abandon certain sectors and go full bore in others. It just means you start favoring things that you think might benefit from this new president coming in. That's it. You don't bet the farm on anything, ever. You don't. Now, can you bet the farm? This is what the biggest mistake is you bet the farm on something and it works. That's a terrible thing to happen to you because then you think you can keep doing it and eventually you'll lose all your money. You keep betting that farm, eventually the farm will be gone. That's why you hear me talk about ad nauseum managing the risk of your portfolio. Manage it. You're going to grow your portfolio and not make huge mistakes. That's what we need to do. So what money matters are on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Are they personal financial issues or more about the economy? Investing, of course, we all talk about that. And we can talk about any money matters that you want to discuss. So go to our 24-hour listen line. Let's go ahead and do that. 888-9. Now let's go ahead and do a live call while he's on. Let's talk to Jim in Indiana. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great, Steve. How about yourself?
Good. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Good. Hey, my question, and I know you've been talking about this already, was actually about the election.
Mm-hmm.
See, my prediction was right along with yours, in that if Donald Trump won, that everything was going to, the floor was going to drop out, at least for a short period of time.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Kind of like Brexit did. And my basis for that was when the FBI said, we're looking into Clinton again on these emails,
right,
then the market, you know, it was pretty...
Nine days down,
it wasn't pretty for two games.
9 days down,
and then
9 days in a row.
Mm-hmm. And then he wins, and it shoots up like a rocket, and we see stocks. You know, some of these steel stocks were up 10%, and it blows my mind. I mean, I get why the steel stocks were up because he's an isolationist, and he's probably going to put the hurt on steel imports, but it blows my mind. I don't understand. So
it's probably unreasonable.
Any
it's unreasonable, Jim. It's unreasonable. And that's what happens. The markets get overbought and oversold. And I think some of the sectors, which I'm going to talk about, and that's one of them, felt really benefited by him being president. But what he can do is he can't just dictate. You know, he has to still have cooperation by the Congress, and they're not going to let him do it. I know people are all hysterical about, he's going to do all this stuff. Well, we'll see. The president only has a limited amount of power, you know. But I think, Jim, I really think we need to sit back for a few days, 2, 3, 4 days. Let's see what the market does. Will it calm down? Once it starts looking at these things, it valued certain stocks at a certain level for a reason. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, is that reason changed? For instance, if we had Hillary as president, you knew that she was going to continue Obama's policies. It was pretty obvious. She said so. You knew if Trump won, he's going to try to make massive changes into how we trade with our partners, how we negotiate deals, you know, tax issues. There's things he says he's going to do. And yes, they will affect the stocks, the sectors, but I don't think it affects them. It affects them more fundamentally, not just in one day, Jim. The one day thing is emotions, people reacting emotionally. So I think we need to let it calm. Let's let it calm down. And maybe we should be in steel stocks. Maybe we should. But I'm not buying them today because they're way too high and they don't look very healthy financially. But they probably will get more healthy with his policies over the next few years, Jim. Not today, not this week. You know what I'm saying?
Well, my thought on steel stocks after I was looking at them was this would be a good short opportunity. Wait a couple of days and see what happens, and maybe a short opportunity.
It's very possible because the fundamentals on steel are still the same. The economic fundamentals are not changed, right? They haven't changed. Right. Jim, pretty good call. Thank you. I appreciate it. Really, thank you for listening. Yeah, so everybody, I'm not saying that they may not be a place to be. What I'm saying is make sure you look at each individual stock and decide, is that really is that the stock I want to be in? Is that the sector I should be in going forward? That's what you have to ask yourself. What is it? For instance, interest rate spiked today. Did you see that? The 10-year treasury spiked. That's going to mean if that continues to happen, that is going to affect other interest rates like the mortgage rates. They'll go up. But was that spike real, or is it just going to be a few days and then start to come back down? You have to wait. We have to see. I don't have a crystal ball. We have to see. What I do know is you don't react to something shocking, you know, that affects the market today or the next few days. You don't react to that. You don't invest your money based on that kind of action, volatility. It's not something you should do. We're getting ready to greet our listeners in San Jose. Can't wait. I hope you can join us. It's this weekend, our Saturday morning wealth conference. We don't do very many of those. And I added a couple of more slides in there about the Obama presidency. What the kind of effect? It's November 12th, this Saturday. It's all about managing change. There will be change in 2017. I didn't realize how profound that topic would be. I didn't know if Trump would win or not. But anyways, it does make a difference. What should you be doing? What's going to happen? You can sign up right now at investtalk.com. They're growing more popular every year. Everything you need to know about index funds. That's one of our main talking points today. It's not a complicated subject. It's not. I'm also going to talk about what stocks rose today. And I mean, some of them rose strongly because of the Trump presidency. What sectors, and then maybe a little bit why, and why people go broke in retirement. Now the obvious, and the one I'm not going to give you is because they run out of money. That's too simplistic. But why do they go broke in retirement? I'm going to give you a number of reasons. And great brand products at Costco, Kirkland brand products, Kirkland, Costco's brand. I've got three great brand products. You can save lots of money. That's what we're going to talk about. The market was up 257 points today. The Dow, that was for the Dow, 58 for the NASDAQ and 24th for the S&P. Second pretty big up day in a row. The Dow is very close to a new high. Very close. Maybe had 9 days in a row down, then 2-3 days up. This is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. What about IRAs, 401k contributions? What about them? Ross, will there be any difference in 2017? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. That's Invest Talk, our 24-hour listening line. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Mark in Mountain View. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, I'm fine. Thanks very much. Good afternoon. You have a question about the SK QQQ. It's supposed to track the market three times the inverse. But today I noticed that it doesn't seem to be tracking it. Sometimes it goes in the same direction. It was supposed to go the opposite. I think at one point the NASDAQ, the S&P was going up like at least quite some amount. And then the SQQQ was also going up like 0.01 instead of going the opposite direction three times. It does not seem to be very efficient. I think you mentioned one time that it may not always be 100% correlating to the stock market. Mm-hmm. But it sometimes seems to be way quite out of whack, actually.
At
first, I thought the Yahoo was sluggish because there's nothing updated. But then I went to Google's finance, same thing, went to my own brokers. It's the same story, practically, actually.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Okay, this is SQQQ, three Qs. It is exchange-traded fund corresponding to three times the inverse of the daily performance of the NASDAQ 100. So it should have went down three times faster than the market went up. So the market went up 2%. This should have went down 6%. Remember, it's an inverse, so it's short. What did it do? What did the market do today? How much? What percent was it? Up 1.5%? I don't remember.
Like quite a large, yeah.
Yeah. Like and this went down 1.5%. It almost exactly 1-to-1 inverse to the QQQs. Way off. And that's the problem with these leveraged funds. That's why I don't like them. I try to do what they do. Remember, they don't own any stocks. They don't short any stocks when they're leveraged. They have agreements with different side parties and opposite parties and different leveraged instruments to try to match what they say they're trying to match. And they say clearly on their prospectus that they're not always successful. And that's why, if you treat it like, I know it will move this much when I buy it, and you think that's going to happen, you're gonna have big problems with these leveraged funds. I don't really buy them. I stay with a non-leveraged short funds if I want to short. And because I know I can't rely on them. So what happened? You would never know. I would never know because you have to know the instruments inside it and how come they didn't react. Now, the manager of the fund may write something up and tell you why, because it performed so poorly as to the way it was supposed to do. But, that's the only time you're going to get an explanation. And that's another reason why I don't like them. You can't figure out how they work and why they work the way they do. The leveraged funds I'm talking about. So, Mark, don't buy it. Stay away from it. Okay?
Is that the same with TQQQ as well, or is that...
The which one?
The TQQQ.
What's
the TQQQ?
Okay, let's see what the TQQQ is.
It's the opposite of the SQQQ, I think.
Yeah, same thing is true. This is three times on the other side. Three times... Yeah, the exact same thing. If the market goes up 1%, you would think, NASDAQ, this should go up 3%. Well, it won't. What did it do? Let's see what it did today. Q, 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 Q. And it was up 1.4%. It also severely underperformed on the upside.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good. Thank you, Steve. I was wondering if you'd look at this company, KSU. It went down quite a bit today. I was wondering if it'd be a good time to pick it up.
Okay, this is Kansas City Southern. Owns and operates domestic and international rail networks in the United States, Mexico, and Panama. Now, why would the railroads do poorly? Because of what? Because Trump got elected. That's really what you ask yourself, Mike. Why is the railroads doing poorly? Why would they do poorly? Probably because he wants to make us energy independent, and he's going to allow energy companies a lot more freedom to explore and extract oil. And it's going to be a lot less costly for those companies. And of course, high oil prices or high gasoline or diesel fuel prices hurt the auto industry but help the train industry because, they move massive amount of stuff on much less, we're using much less energy, gasoline or diesel, whatever it is. So they got hurt because low prices don't really, they actually hurt the railroad companies. Low prices. High prices help them. They get more business moving stuff around.
But do you see on a chart, is there a
place of support?
A opportunity? Yeah.
Yeah, it broke below all support. It went down 10.88% today, down to $82.48. And I would say it's broken all support. You don't want to buy it yet. It either has to recover back above $87, or there's lots of support coming in around the low 70s. So it's kind of in the middle of no man's land right now. So I think you need to wait.
Okay.
KSU, appreciate it. Owns and operates domestic and international rail networks. Big company, $8.8 billion. Sales have been going down in the last 2 years, small amounts. Earnings have been moving up the last year and then again next year, but not big. So that must mean they're cutting costs. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'd love to talk to you. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you're listening to Invest Talk.
In case we haven't mentioned it, KPP Financial serves clients all across the U.S., and if you'd like to have Steve review your retirement portfolio personally, you'll be ahead of the game. Steve carves out a few hours each month to meet with our podcast subscribers on Skype or telephone. It can be a very educational hour. To set up your time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, and then Portfolio Review, and someone will get right back to you. We'll get right back to Invest Talk now. Your questions and comments are welcome, whether it's a stock or a strategy. Maybe you have a real beginner's question. Those are good, too. And remember, when we take questions about individual stocks, those are learning opportunities, too, for everyone. Because inside every discussion about an individual company, there are principles to apply to all.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Andy in Fremont. How you doing, Andy?
Hi, Steve. I have a question about mutual fund distributions or capital gains. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Let's suppose we have a mutual fund and has the NAV is $100.
Right.
And when this event happens, there's a dollar of capital gain distribution.
Mm-hmm.
The NAV drops by a dollar, right?
Right.
So what do I get out of this? Nothing. It's a zero-sum game.
If you bought that fund the day before it distributed, you just lost money that you never got.
Okay, so that's why they say you don't buy the dividend, is that right?
No, you don't buy the mutual fund toward the end of the year because and you want to know what their normal capital gains distribution is to try to figure out how much you might get hit if you did buy it. So what you do is you'd stay away from mutual funds at the end of the year as far as buying them because you don't know if they're going to have capital gains distributions. And then you're the one that bought it the day before and you didn't get any of the gains over the year. If you owned it for the whole year, you got the gain and then they distributed it so you could pay taxes on the gain. So you still got the gain.
Okay.
You're just paying taxes on the gain.
But I see. So all you get is the tax. You have to pay the tax. I got it. Okay.
Yeah. So
all right.
Okay, appreciate the call, Andy. Yeah, you got to be careful of that. That's one thing about the mutual funds you got to think about. Now, if you're buying an index fund, you don't usually have that issue. There's no issue of a capital gains distribution because they're tracking an index and they don't buy and sell. Okay, but I don't want to say it never happens because they do change stocks inside the indexes every so often. So, and when they do that, they're either triggering a gain or a loss. And again, you don't know. That's a problem with that.
Right.
You just don't know. Anyways, Andy, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about, what do we want to talk about? What is on everybody's mind? How about indexing? We were just talking about that a little bit. Indexing, everything you want to know about indexing. It's very simple. Indexing, try to remember, you're just tracking an index. An index is no more than a group of stocks that is held in a basket. And that, if it's the Dow 30, is 30 different stocks of the Dow Jones Industrial They pick those 30 stocks, you hold them in that basket, and you own the whole basket, and you go up and down with the index. That's what an index is. An index could be an index of anything. Okay, so you got to know what indexes you're buying. And that's all. There is no rocket science here. You can buy an index through an ETF. You can buy it through a mutual fund. And what you do is you just buy the index and you hold it for years. If you try to trade it, get in and out, you'll lose money. Just doesn't work. And there will be periods of years that it doesn't work. There'll be period. We've had 2 years where it really hasn't worked much. It's up a little bit this year. But it's been a long time and it just hasn't done anything. And you could say to yourself, well, this has been a long time. You know, that's not working. Well, not really. It could be several more years to not work. You don't know. That's why I'm saying, when I say years, I mean 5, 10, 15 years. You stick with the index. And you will do fine if you do it. If you do it, you'll be fine. Now, that means you got to go up and down with the market, wherever it happens. And if you can't because you're close to retirement or you can't handle the swings, then don't buy an index. Let's go to Gene in North Carolina. How you doing, Gene? A follow-up question with Kansas City Southern. How you doing?
Hi, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. Were you mentioning from another call that the stock went down today?
Yes.
I was thinking if their primary train routes run in the middle of the country from north to south, maybe it's because with Trump, he'll open up the pipelines for easier building and that'll be competition for the
That's very
railroad.
Possible. Is another reason. I do think, Gene, the primary reason is because he's going to be pro-energy and want to, you know, we're going to have more oil, and we already have plenty. So it means it's going to be low cost. And trucks use a lot of diesel fuel, and therefore trucks are going to be very, you know, are going to benefit where trains won't. And you know, Gene, it's just an emotional response. It's not
right.
It's not necessarily true. Yeah. You know?
Sure.
So. Sure. So.
Okay, I was just thinking it was competition from easier building new pipelines. That's all.
It could be, but I don't think that's the primary reason. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate
okay.
the call.
Thanks Thank a lot. You.
Yeah, remember, he's going to be for the pipeline, he and the Republican Congress, the pipeline coming down from Canada, the trans, whatever the name of that pipeline was. And that's probably going to get approved because he's pro, you know, pro-industry, pro-oil. He's, you know, that's how he's going to, you know, that's how it's going to be. He wants to produce jobs. That produces jobs. He's not going to be so focused. And that's going to be one of my main talking points here is, you know, what stocks and industries are going to be hurt and what are going to be benefit. Drug companies were up big today. Biotech was up big today. Banks were up big today. Why that? Well, by banks, didn't he promise to cut red tape, reduce red tape? Well, the banks have had massive new red tape placed on, so the thinking is there's going to be less of that. Drug companies, you know, how often did you hear Hillary say that she was going to rein in those drug company costs, the drug cost of drugs? He's not going to be so much reining in the cost, is he? Especially if he tries to get rid of Obamacare. Now, what about those stocks that got hit today? Clean energy stocks, they got hit. They got hit because he's going to be pro-oil. He's not going to necessarily be anti-clean energy, but he's going to be pro-oil. Hospital stocks got hit today. Emerging markets. Did you see what happened to bonds? Yields. So you got to just be aware. And this is a one-day thing. So it's not something you just got to wait and see what's really going to happen and see what the market direction goes. And, you know, don't get too excited or depressed about any of this. It's not your job. Your job is to analyze. Think calmly. Don't react emotionally. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Along with planning for retirement, Americans struggle most with sticking to a budget. I know lots of family members that can't stick to a budget. Do you have some suggestions? Can you share an object lesson maybe for your, you know, maybe from your personal experience? That's more interesting. A lot of people are interested in other people's experiences. So give me a call, 888-99-CHART. What's your sermon to your kids or grandkids about when it comes to finances, saving money, managing their money? Do you have one? Check in now at 888-99-CHART.
Our InvestTalk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or contact Justin on investtalk.com.
Hello, my name is Andres. I'm calling from Palm Beach, Florida, and I enjoy this show. I listen on the podcast every day. My question is, I'm looking to invest in an ETF or a mutual fund that tracks the S&P 500. I'm only going to put about $2,000 to $3,000 annually, but I'm not sure if I should go with the ETF or the mutual fund and which one will give me a better benefit if I'm only going to be investing about $2,000 to $3,000 annually. I'll be listening to your answer. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Well, I would try to go with the lowest cost one, and I would talk about the S&P 500 and Vanguard. Mutual funds are the lowest cost, and usually Vanguard ETFs are low cost. And if I had, I would probably go with ETF. Remember, there's no management involved here. It's just holding on to an index. So I would look for the lowest cost ETF, S&P 500. And it's probably going to be Vanguard. Okay, so look, go look at Vanguard. Go to Morningstar. Type in Vanguard. Type in S&P 500 ETFs. You know, you can do the search, research, and it'll pop right up. Okay? That's what I would do. 888-99-CHART. Why? Why people go broke in retirement? And yes, you're going to say because they run out of money. But that's not what I'm talking about. Of course, if they run out of money, they'll go broke. But there's more reasons than that. Number one, and of course you're going to say because I'm in the business. But number one is you abandon stocks. You don't invest in stocks anymore. You go to CDs, savings account, bonds, because you don't want to take any risk. That's a mistake. You'll run out of money. Number two, you invest in too much in stocks. You got to manage the risk. You don't want to be all in the market when you're in retirement. You just want to, you got to stay ahead of inflation. That's the goal. But you don't have to invest all your money in the stock market, and you shouldn't when you're in retirement. Number three, you live too long. Not that that's a problem, but most people don't understand that they're going to live many, many, many years, maybe 30-plus years in retirement. That's a long time. So you got to prepare for that. It's a spending problem. You're spending too much. You're spending more than you're earning in retirement. You can't do that. Remember, you can't make this money again. You can't make it up. So Social Security, any pension plans, your 401k IRA, that's it. What can they produce? What income can you take from them without running out of money? Another reason why people go broke is you can't work. A lot of people, there's been a lot of surveys, say, well, I'm going to work until my, 70, or I have to work till, I'm 75. I have to keep working. You fail to understand that most people who want to work can't work. Either their skills are not there, their employer laid them off, they physically can't do it, something. And that goes to the next reason, because people get sick. You run out of money because you get sick. People think that, well, I'll have some Medicare, Medicaid, whatever it is, they'll pay for that. No, they don't. They pay for a lot of it, but you got to have out-of-pocket expenses. You got deductibles, copay, you got all kinds of things. And if you want to see a specialist, it's a whole different ballgame. Been there, done that. I know all about that with some sick older relatives that I had to help. And this is another big reason why you go broke in retirement. You bankroll your kids. You bankroll your kids. You want the best for them. You want to help them. And you overhelp them at your own expense. And then you run out of money. And then you got to go ask the kids for money or live with them, whatever. So those are some reasons why you run out of money. So try not to do any of those. stay in the market, but make sure you don't stay in the market with all your money. Be reasonable about that. Time for InvestTalk 101. You want to try your investing wings without risking real money? So you want to try a simulator? There are a bunch of stock market simulators out there. Each one has its own features. Some are easier than others to use. How the market works is advertised on the web's most popular free stock market game. Wall Street Survivor is another popular stock market simulator, offering stocks, but not penny stocks, options, and currency trading. And the Investopedia Stock Simulator, I like that one, is well integrated with the site's familiar educational content. Nothing to be afraid of. You're not playing with real money, but there's nothing to compare with the real thing. That, what I'm saying is the real thing is very different than the simulator. You know why? Because your emotions are not involved in the simulator. It's not real money. You can make any decision you want. You know you're not going to get hurt. As soon as you start putting your own personal money on the line, you make slightly different decisions because emotions play a part. It's very, very difficult. Don't get excited if you say, hey, I make tons of money in the simulator. I'm just what I'm going to do in real life, because it's not real life. That's InvestTalk 101. If you have questions on this topic or any other money matter, you can check in now and give me a call. Or you can make a personal note that will come directly to me. You can do that. Go to Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. Send me an email. I answer all my emails. I work very hard about doing that.
Managing multiple mutual funds, researching professional services, where to put your savings. If it's about money and if it's important to you, we want to know more about it. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve or Justin right now on InvestTalk.
Now, I know a lot of you out there shop at Costco, because I do. I shop at Costco all the time. I like their prices, even though I don't need their massive quantities. But they have a brand. Everybody knows the Kirkland brand. People make fun of it. But there are three products that are Kirkland brand that are great brand products. Not because Costco says so. Not because Costco says so or I say so. No, I'm talking about independent research firms, institutions, testing labs say that these three things, Kirkland brand items, are excellent, exceptional, whatever they want to use words. I'm going to tell you what they are. You're listening to Invest Talk. Now you have a partner managing your 401k at work. It's a new program from KPP Financial called My 401k. Find out more about it on InvestTalk.com. Click on the Investment tab and then My 401k. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Ron in Illinois. How you doing, Ron?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I thank you for the call.
I just had a question about the iShares Mexico ETF, EWW.
Yes.
I saw it was down on decent volume today, 8.5%.
Yep.
It looks like it's near support. I was wondering if now was a good time to get in for a short-term trade.
Normally, I would say it is that support. Very good at bounced off 46.50 or so, which was the double bottom. And normally, I would say, yeah, this would be kind of where the support would be. Why am I saying normally? Because of who got elected president. This is EWW, iShares Mexico. It is seeking the performance of the index in Mexico. And what is Trump going to do? He's going to build a wall, make Mexico pay for it, right? He's going to bring back jobs from Mexico, right? Is any of that going to help Mexico? No. So I'm a little nervous, Ron, about investing in Mexico right now. But in answer to your specific question, you're right. You're absolutely right. It bounced off support. If Hillary was elected, I would say, this looks like a pretty good opportunity. But I don't think so, not with Trump. You might get a bounce.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for your help, Steve.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. You got to think not only, and I hate to say it, but you got to think about politics and stock market. We always want to go by the fundamentals, and you start there with the fundamentals. But if you're buying an index in a country, you got to think about the politics involved. That's very important. You got to think about the politics in almost anything you buy. But generally, politics doesn't get in the way. EWW was the symbol. Okay, three great brand. Oh, I still can't get to it. I got to go to Shakar in Palo Alto. How are you doing, Shakar?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a quick question. I own a stock which has been acquired by another company. And so the stock is now at a price at which it was acquired.
Right.
So how does typically this thing work in acquisitions? Do they just...
Okay. Okay.
Do I have to sell it off, or how does it work?
You don't have to do a darn thing. You own it, right? The company that got purchased, right? You own it. So what happens is, do you know the details about the purchase? Are they buying it for stock in the new company? Are they giving you cash in stock? Are they paying cash for your stock company? So let's say they're paying cash. Your stock will disappear out of your portfolio, and the cash will appear in your portfolio. Okay? So let's say we're paying $32 per share. Your stock disappears, and you get $32 per share in your portfolio. If they say, we're going to give 2.5 shares for every 5 shares you own, right? Then what happens? You're going to get new shares of the company that got it. That's how that works. It just shows up in your portfolio. Now, before the deal goes through, you can always sell your old stock. It's still traded. But after the deal, it's done. You got to wait till it shows up. Okay?
Got it. And for this one, the one I'm talking about, IQNT, uh-huh. Are there any regulatory concerns that I should be worried about? Or
nah.
Should I just liquidate my position right now?
Yeah, there's no... the deal can... fall apart, that's your danger. That's why you hear me recommend when a deal is offered and the stock goes up to about what the price is, I would sell it and take it and put it and move on to another. Because the two things can happen, either a deal could go through and you get it for the price that it is, or the deal could fail and it's going to drop down to where it was, or they can renegotiate to a higher price. Most time they don't renegotiate, and the deal either goes through or it falls apart. Well, I don't like the it's fall apart bit, so I usually sell them when the deal is. That's what I do. Okay?
Makes sense. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Shakar. I appreciate the call. 888-99-TRADE. Okay, I only have a minute. Great brand products, Kirkland, Costco. Olive oil, Kirkland Signature Organic Extra Virgin Olive Oil. $13.99 for 2 liters. It meets all the standards of very excellent olive oil, virgin. Next one is bacon. Kirkland's signature bacon won all the tests, excellent in taste tests. Third one is Kirkland's signature tequila Arajo. Exceptional by Taste Testing Institute. Huh? Go get them. Our time is up for this hour. A reminder before we go, we're looking forward to the Saturday Morning Wealth Conference coming up on the 12th, this Saturday, 9 to noon at the Hyatt House. The Hyatt Hotel in San Jose. You can sign up online on investtalk.com. Please, I hope to see you there. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, we thank you for listening today. I hope you can do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.